Seja você.
You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, everybody. Chris here. This is a little interview we had so much fun doing with James Lafferty and Stephen Colletti, who are the director and writers of a show they're trying to get a Kickstarter together for that was premiering at ATX Television Festival. Everyone is doing great. We had so much fun watching this thing. And it was a real pleasure to be able to talk to them and star Michelle Lang, who has a connection to a previous interview that we did with the folks who did Small Town Crime. In fact, all of them have a connection with Small Town Crime that comes up repeatedly during the interview. This is me and Beau, who got to meet with them at a hotel in downtown Austin. Now, I want to apologize to you right off the bat and say, yes, the sound quality here is a little mixed because they were like, well, this is where we're doing it, which is the way it happens with a lot of these interviews, which means background sound and people and music playing in the background. We did the best we could. We hope that you enjoy because it was really, truly a fun conversation. I do want to say right off the bat, thank you again. Boy, you guys are like, wait, what? Oscar Blues Brewing Company? Yes, the beer company that is one of the things that keeps us going here. Drink Oscar Blues, first craft brew in the can with Dale's Pale Ale. Many, many great selections out there. Choose from with brew pubs located in Austin, two in Colorado, and one in North Carolina. Well worth your time, and people who are, they're doing the right thing. They're supporting a podcast, so you should support them. But without any further ado, let's take a listen to this interview. Once again, please, like, forgive some of the background noise here. It is what it is, but I think this is the interview that's well worth listening to.
Hello, one of us viewers, or listeners, as the case may be. We are here at the ATX Festival, and we are lucky enough to be talking to James Lafferty and Stephen Colletti of One Tree Hill fame, and also, in the case of James, Small Town Crime fame, and also Michelle Lang of also Small Town Crime fame. As you know, Chris and I are big fans of Small Town Crime.
We like it a lot.
We like it a lot. And we've been lucky enough to the publicist team reached out to us and wanted to tell us about James Stevenson Project, which is an independent TV series called Everyone is Doing Great.
Yes.
And so we're here to talk to the both of them about how this came to be and tell us a little something about how this came to be.
What's it about first for the listeners?
You did watch the first episode for the record.
Oh, you did. Yes.
Awesome. Sounds
better
coming
out of y'all's mouth.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well, is everyone doing great? The genesis of the show is something that James brought to me. This is Steven speaking, by the way. What's up? James came to me with an idea, and it was something very specific about a couple of guys in the industry and where they're at, where they've come from, and where might they head. And from there, you know, it was, we knew the backdrop, and James was like, look, I want you to create a character and put it into this world, so get back to me. And then I was like, all right, let's do this.
We were both, like, 5 years removed from One Tree Hill, and so a lot of people reaching out on social media, a lot of One Tree Hill fans were being really just cool. It was a nostalgic time, and we kind of thought, like, well, what if we didn't put ourselves in the position to be doing what we're doing right now? Like, we both have always wanted to be behind a camera, along with acting. And so we've worked really hard over the years to make sure that we could be doing that. But we were like, what if we didn't? What if we came out of One Tree Hill and our careers were really languishing and we were without a paddle? And what would life be like right now? And we just felt like there was a lot of room for comedy and awkward, dry comedy in that situation, right? And those are our inspirations for this show are things like the trip with Steve Coogan, like,
right.
Like John M. On HBO with Mortimer.
So this is alternate universe.
Totally.
Steve and James.
Yeah. And you know, we we had these circumstances that we're really familiar with, and what we really needed to do was just create these characters who were totally different versions of us, you know, and map those onto that world. And I think it, you know, it worked. It just felt like it was going to work, and we were talking about it. And as the process evolved, it just, you know, there continued to be less and less reasons why we shouldn't do this.
And let me ask you, because in the show, y'all both came from a previously successful vampire series, mm-hmm. which I watch a lot of genre television, so I was like, wait, was that real? Did I miss that? But
I fought two handsome guys in a vampire series that would just keep going on till the end of time, right, and never ever be canceled.
Yeah, like, so did they, I think.
But, like, you know, since y'all both came from One Tree Hill, which is very successful, also geared more towards younger viewers, mm-hmm. How you say this is different versions of yourself, but I feel like there's probably a lot that isn't, too. That you're like, this is stuff in here that really did, like, maybe stuff you laughed at or things that you're like, yeah, I think about that. I sometimes feel like I almost became that person. Does that feel close at all?
I think so. I think you can, you know, there are times in your life when you scare yourself, and there are times in your life when you're really, really insecure, and, like, the kind of worst version of you threatens to come out, you know? And so you just really extrapolate from there, and you create these characters that give into that, you know, give into that darkness, and you give them some. That's where they start out, right? And then they got to get better from there. That's their journey. It's like, how do they figure out who they are again?
Is this is it kind of a way to exercise your own demons?
There's a bit therapeutic, I think, just like circumstantially, you know. It feels we feel, and Michelle, you might be able to speak to this as well. I think it's really empowering to take control of your own career, right? I mean, that's what this was for us. You know, we have felt a little bit blown around as actors, a little bit blown around by the wind in this industry since One Tree Hill, and this was a way to, you know, just take control. And I think, you know, you can speak to that as an actor too.
Yeah, I started primarily as an actress. I mean, I did a lot of work as an actor, and when I started producing for the film Lost on Purpose that James was actually in, also it was our first project together, I really had to learn just trial by fire. I mean, it was really like jump in and learn how to do this, but it was such a blessing because of that, now I'm empowered to like make whatever catches my fancy for whoever I love and want to spend a lot of time doing it for, you know? So it is, especially as an actor, I mean, I think it's so important, especially with how content's created now more than ever. It's so important if you want to have control over what roles you get, what you get cast as, to be able to take projects that you love and figure out a way to make them happen, whether you're the one literally doing all the paperwork or whether you can find a friend or build a team and build a film family to help push everything through.
Well, it feels like that's kind of what's happening here.
Yeah. Because and we haven't mentioned it to the listeners other than mentioning the movie Small Town Crime, but the other people kind of involved in this that aren't here to speak right now are the Nevels brothers themselves.
Yeah.
And obviously you and James have worked together with brothers on all of their films in some way or another. I mean, it's that kind of, you know, it seems like you're forming it. You have already formed this cool little umbrella organization.
Yeah, I mean, I always joke that making a movie for us now is like summer camp, but
sure,
with like less sleep and no glitter tattoos.
Sure.
You know, so it's like, but really we like to create that feeling of, when I come to set, I love seeing Dale Dickey, I love seeing James Laffey, I love seeing Jerry Ratchford, I love seeing these actors and Stephen Plady now.
What am I, chopped liver?
Hello.
You just got married into the family.
You're welcomed in, but we do love, like, with each project that we do, we add people to the film family. And then, you know, I have some projects that are a little bit, like I have Strangely in Love, which is such a strange film. I play a blind girl, and it's like a mashup of Charlie Chaplin meets Dostoevsky.
Okay.
It's so strange and cool. And it's with a little bit of a different film family, but I always like to have it overlap, you know, whether or not the Nelms brothers were on that, they certainly influenced Strangely in Love and helped. Actually, Ian was on it. He helped produce it. So forget it. It's a whole same. It's all the same.
I don't care. You had me at Charlie Chaplin Does Crime and Punishment. I'm there.
The only difference is when that main character does an awesome stumble down a set of steps, he dies horribly, and the rest of the film is about his family mourning and eventually dying.
Well put. I would say, so talking about their little film community that they've built, that little thing that they didn't allow me into so many years. Now that it's become something great.
There are no club.
Let me just say, what a great community. No, I met the Nelms brothers and knew the films that they were doing together and was just very envious of this group that he was in. And I was like, this is really cool. They're making cool indie films and they're badass. And man, like, that's something I'd really like to get into. And I think it kind of like, tugging on James's shirt a little bit, always like, yeah, man, I just kind of always like, just want to gather a community of good people like mine that want to make cool projects and like, let's, hint, hint, like, let's do something, let's get in here. And thankfully, I found myself, working with the Nelms brothers and Michelle and James. And it's been, this is so cheesy, but it's been like, it's basically been like a dream come true. It's just been badass.
Well, I mean, it sounds like, obviously the germination of the TV series is what you guys have been doing, is taking your creative reins into your own hands, which is awesome. Also, the pilot's very funny. Talk about just a little bit. We've got some bottom level stuff coming up. What's describe your kind of the writing process that you go through to the pilot with?
Yeah, so this is pretty unique because we were another inspiration of ours was Drake Duranis, what he did with the movie Like Crazy, and there was so many spontaneous little moments that came, beautiful little moments, genuine little moments that came from just people trying to figure each other out in the scene, right? Without dialogue, and so that's what we wanted to capture. We wanted from the start for people to feel like they have access to these guys in a complete and total way, like they're watching them as a fly on the wall, right? And in order to do that, we just needed it to, and in order for it to be funny as well, right? We're not comedians. We have a massive respect for what comedians do. That is a skill set in itself. That is another community that has worked so hard, and it's very insular, and we're not trying to break into that, but what we are trying to do is create a comedy out of people struggling, right? Because that's what we want to do. We want people that are struggling to not feel alone in their struggle through this story. And so we felt like the best way to do that was to not script it. So we wrote an outline. We didn't have much dialogue. We approached each scene, and we gave the actors pretty much free rein to create their characters. And then, each scene was this sort of distillation process. We would, shoot the first take, and then things that worked, we would hold on to, and then we'd move to the next take, and then, the next take would get a little bit shorter, and then, by the time you get to the coverage and the last takes, it's just the greatest hits of that scene, of that first take.
Do you guys, do any of you come from an improv background, or, other than, obviously, anybody who does formal training probably does a little bit of improv, but...
Yeah, just from training and classes, just growing up and doing stuff, some theater, growing up, you just kind of re-experiment a little bit, not something, there's no other comedy troupe or anything like that we're a part of.
Yeah, no, and this was an experimental process. From the start, we knew that this was going to be like something different. That's where Michelle and the Nels brothers came in like so huge, was because we were uncertain of our ability to execute on this kind of storytelling, and they had done it before. They had shot a short, it was really, really funny, and went to Woodstock Film Festival, right? And it was just fantastic, and they showed it to us, and they were like, we think you guys can do this.
We actually did the whole mumblecore movement, like J.D. Glass, and
sure.
We were doing Lost on Purpose when that was going in, so we were actually inspired by the Duke Glass brothers through an exercise that they had done, which was very improv-y, and years ago, as just for fun, instead of just hanging out, because apparently we couldn't do that, we had to be like, have all our friends over and have beers and do these improvs and have somebody shooting. Like, that was our Saturday night. We're like, here's what we're going to do. And then Ian or Ash would cut this together, and sometimes the improvs would amounts of something cool like the one they showed you, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But we had so many others, you know? So yeah. I think when you talked to them, they probably brought that process up.
Yeah, you guys brought the process to us. And then, you know, they would come over with their camera, and then we would all put a bunch of motivations and, like, random shit in a big bowl. And then we would all pick stuff out, and then the actors that were going to be, you know, in this pilot, we would just start riffing, right? And we would see what came out. And then I would go in and kind of tinker with it in Premiere and dig stuff out. And that really gave us, I think we did that for like 3 nights. And one of the nights we came up with like something that I thought was really cool. And it just gave us the confidence to recognize that we could tell the story this way.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think the Duplass brothers are quickly becoming the Velvet Underground of directors.
<They're> so bad.
Yeah. Even if you don't know who they are, all the people that are starting to make films now know who they are and are inspired by them.
This is so cool, like how it creates like a ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know, like they influence the Nels Brothers, and Nels Brothers influence us, and then here we are with this.
So do you feel like, because of the way that you're doing this, that it is a lot of it is improv, that makes it that much more important to work with people that you already have a previously existing relationship with?
Yeah, definitely. For us, I think, yeah.
I mean, obviously you guys have been friends for a while working back at the show.
I mean, there's a comfort level that, and especially as first-timers to this process, I think that was super, super important and helpful that we already have a rapport, we're already comfortable with each other, we already know how to read each other in a conversation. So it's not to say that we aren't open and really, really excited about bringing new people in, because that was like one of the coolest things about this project is how many new people we brought in.
I just want to steer that a little bit towards Michelle, because you are heavily involved in the casting process for this, I believe.
Bob Trudeau,
you know?
Yeah, so I have just an enormous... I went to Northwestern for acting, and they have a great acting program. You can use stage, it's a lot of stage stuff. So Bob was a friend of mine from Northwestern, and when I have a moment in films to like plug somebody in that I just know is so incredibly talented. And it was fun for me to get to act with Bob in that scene. I'm in the casting director scene, so it was fun. Like, we've never worked together, even though we've gone to school together. But yeah, like, Deborah Baker Jr. is in it, and she's been in Lost on Purpose. We just have this network of friends that we've been plugging away for years and years and years, and it's fun because now they're all further in their careers too, so we can all kind of chuck along together, which is great.
Can I just say I root for Katie Lotz? I'm just saying, I'm putting my vote in there for Katie Lotz.
She was great.
She seems like the nicest person.
So nice, like, just really, because I'm so often behind the scenes, like, I also get to have on-set experience, but I also get to see what goes on behind the scenes, you know, and I really love working with people. Like, Lost on Purpose was 35 days, our first film, and it was on a dairy farm, and it was hot, and James couldn't have been more chill and low-key, and I was like, this guy is amazing, not only in front of the camera, but as a human, which for me is huge, because there's a lot going on behind the scenes, like, and Katie Lotz was great.
I mean, there's always, you hear the stories of the celebrities who have just bought into their own thing, and like, I'll be in my trailer, don't talk to me, I'm method. And it's always refreshing when you hear people are like, they're regular people.
That's usually how I am, by the way. It's just that I was reading the Harry Potter book series. My heart was very open and warm. I was in a good place.
We're glad we caught you at a good moment, James.
Yes, me too.
Thank you, Harry Potter.
Me too. Thank you, Harry Potter.
Until some jackass kid on the set was like, Dumbledore dies?
Yeah. What?
Are you kidding me?
That's right back to, how dare you people speak to me? All
so
right.
How many episodes is this first season?
Well, we want to do 6 total. So the crowdfunding campaign that we're putting together through Indiegogo right now, we want to raise the budget for 5 more episodes. So, you know, obviously the pilot that we screen here kicks the whole thing off. And then we want to do 5 more, you know, in a way that shows like Catastrophe have done. I think Fleabag.
God, I love Catastrophe.
Oh, yeah.
So fantastic.
Well,
you know, there's, you know, and they don't spread themselves too thin, you know. They just make 6 incredible episodes. And there's no filler moments. There's no filler episodes. And I think that there's something to that.
I think the Brits have been running circles around us as far as making quality television.
Yeah.
Because they're not concerned with, all right, are we going to stuff this into 22 episodes draw it out?
It's not volume. It's
constantly.
Quality.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather get the arc of a prime suspect than have to sit through season 2 of Lost. No offense, guys. But come on.
Every time anything is over, like, 14 episodes, I'm like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah,
I don't have time for that.
Yes, what am I, an immortal?
I'm glad the landscape's changing, because I think on every side it gives people more of a chance to explore like quality television, what television's capable of, as opposed to, as you said, you got that many hours, there's going to be a lot of garbage thrown in the middle.
It's just so hard to sustain greatness, you know, for that long, I think. And we don't have a huge writer's room. This is a really small, intimate, personal story that's really just, you know, the creative influence is from within, our little crew here. And we don't have the resources as well to just, you know, sit around and break story for 6 months.
And, of course, it seems like that improvisational process is going to take longer than somebody handing you the script.
Yeah.
I noticed there's a certain factor of it, of what I call squirm comedy, you know, where you're like, you know, I want to like these guys, and they keep making these mistakes. You're like, oh, what are you doing? You see it coming. It makes me think of things like Curb Your Enthusiasm or something.
Some It's Always Sunny vibe.
Yeah, It's Always Sunny.
Definitely.
That's obviously like the coolest thing that we could ever hear.
Let's from the best.
Incredibly validating.
It's an homage.
So you guys are going to be in Pacific Rim 3 then, right?
But yeah, that's exactly what we're going for. We want to, I mean, the stuff that we admire is the stuff that makes us squirm a bit, you know? And a lot of it is that dry British comedy as well. Like, they really, I think, expose the world to that with, like, the British Office, and that's something that we really love. Like, when you have to look away, that means you feel something, right? And that's, if you feel something, that means if you're making somebody feel something, that means you're doing your job.
Well, you
want
to look away, you think you probably should look away, but you're not looking away.
Yeah.
To keep going.
Slow-moving training. Right?
And that fine balance between making people still like these characters and root for them, but also going, guys, what are you doing?
Come on.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping that's because people can see themselves in them, you know, and we all know that we have our flaws, we all know that we make mistakes, but we all know that there's, like, that person inside us who's just trying to do good, right?
Sure.
And that's who these guys are, so hopefully that's a universal thing.
I mean, I definitely think there's a, you know, the idea of a cast that is just awful people, a la Seinfeld, or, you know, certainly Always Sunny, you know, there's certainly room for people that kind of, you know, work both sides of the track a little bit more.
Yeah.
And as, you know, we kind of touched on the idea of exercising demons. I mean, everybody's got that in them where they're like, well, how am I going to deal with this? Am I going to be awful?
It's striving to be better and knowing like where their weaknesses lie, right? Like, you know what? I got to stop making the same mistake. But then, you know, there tends to be consistencies in the same, like, oh, man, I did it again.
That's kind of life, right? It's a series of life. Realizing you've been making the same mistake several times in a row. That's what I need to do.
Yeah. 10 years later.
Here I am.
Well, just to do a little hometown rooting, you know, how things been here at the ATX Fest, and how, you know, what kind of feedback you've been getting, and, you know, how are we doing?
What a badass little festival, honestly. I was saying that I was more excited to go to Austin than to be at ATX, just because I didn't know much about ATX. But now that it's over, I'm more excited that I was in ATX than I was in Austin. And it's nothing against the city of Austin, I think it's super cool. But
it's like a Pop-Tart. There's good stuff inside, there's good stuff.
The festival was amazing, and Austin's been really cool too, but the festival definitely exceeded my expectations, and we would love nothing more than to be back a year from now with two episodes, you know?
Right. So y'all are still looking to get this distributed right now?
We're doing the Indiegogo campaign to crowdfund the budget, but also, you know, we're hoping that, you know, instead of just committing to staying in that one crowdfunding and we're gonna put it out through our own website, like Lane, we're just hoping that the Indiegogo campaign opens a bunch of doors and we can go through an unconventional, unpredictable process of getting this thing distributed, because this is the future of episodic television, man. It's independent, you know?
Yep.
I think people are so often used to this sort of thing being done for independent films. I mean, we did a Kickstarter to help raise finishing funds for Lost on Purpose at the same time that the Veronica Mars was going, and, you know. So it's very seen for films to go through this process. But breaking a bit of ground with doing this for a TV show, but I think that's where everyone's going to go. It's really an independent look at how you make a whole series.
Are you looking at it as kind of like using the crowdsourcing as kind of a jet assist to get you to a place where you're not crowdfunding anymore, or that you want to continue to do it?
I mean, think James and Steven might have a different answer from me from looking at it as, like, a nuts and bolts perspective. I think anything is possible, and I always tell these guys, I'm like, whatever path we take, we will make that great, and it will be what is meant to happen. So if we're making this next season, and we're crowdfunding it to try and reach an audience and build an audience, and then later, once we have that season done, we get picked up, awesome, let's do that. If we go back and make season two in the same independent spirit, and we can keep talking to the audience and build it that way, that's awesome too. Like, the cool thing about the way the media has opened this up at is there's so many different paths. Like, there's not just go to the studio and get it out.
Well, and I also think, you know, fans are more engaged now than ever before and have more of a method to reach out and, you know, talk directly to creators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, even further than, you know, the distribution and that whole game plan, you know, this Indiegogo campaign allows us to engage that crowd, right, to engage people and build a community around this show. And that's the spirit of it, right? Like, our favorite shows, like, everyone's favorite show has a community of other people around it who are like-minded, and that's their favorite show, too, right? And so that's our dream, and this campaign allows us to bring people in at the ground level and start to form that community early and get the conversation going.
Can we say where people can find the Indiegogo?
Well, it's in the links to both of our, on both of our Instagram profiles, but then it's also, you know, if you just go to Indiegogo.com and you search Everyone's Doing Great, that's, I think, the easiest way to find it. Or you can Google it, you know, Indiegogo.
It's in the bio of our Twitters, Facebook, Instagram.
And we will definitely be putting up links when we post this interview on our site. We both like the show. We want to get you guys some money in your pocket to keep it going, and you know, hopefully get that second six episodes.
Thank you for watching. We really appreciate that.
But now that you premiered the first episode, is there going to be a place people can see that first episode to go, like, hey, this is something I want to give money to? Is that going to be
on the Indiegogo campaign? We have a perk that, you know, is comes with commentary. So there's that.
The pilot will download the pilot. Commentary.
Okay.
Other than that, we've got a few other festivals coming up. We're going to be Monte Carlo next week. We're going to be
excited about Austin.
We're going to Denver for Series Fest, and we got the New York TV Fest in July. So those are where the screenings are happening in the next few weeks.
Yeah, and we're really encouraging because, like, we realize that it's a little bit tough to back something when you don't know, you haven't watched a pilot, right? You know, especially, you know, this kind of thing that is kind of specific and unique. So we're really encouraging people to engage with us on social media and engage with the people that have seen it at one of these festivals, because I think, you know, we've been getting great responses, and we are more confident than ever in what we put out, and that people will like it. So, you know, if you want to know more, let's have the conversation, you know.
Right on.
Well, we certainly want to help get some people engaged with you, and we're going to do that. Thank you guys so much for talking to you. This has been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. This is fun.
Yeah.